Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek MovieCast, episode 688 miles per hour. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gass, joined by Mike Sneedy.
What's up?
Corey Feinstein.
Hey, yo.
And Tony Kirkanakis.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome, guys. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, viewers. We are live, once again, live. Twitch, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. Please join us. We will chat with you guys as much as we can. We appreciate the viewers. Welcome, everybody who's joining us. And we're also on YouTube. All the content's over there. Subscribe to both channels. That way you get notified when we post over there, because Twitch only keeps these things up for a week and then it throws them away. So YouTube keeps them forever, I think. I hope. We'll see. Anyways, 688 of the MovieCast, guys. It's been an exciting week. Corey and I, we checked out the latest and greatest of the box office, the monster that is Dune 2, Dune Part 2. Not Dune 2, Dune Part 2. Yeah, so when I was there, I was expecting like more of a role from the villain, I guess, when I was talking about the villain. But overall, the further I got away from this movie, the more impactful it's been for me. It's been a like visually stunning sound, audio. It was a fantastic film. I'll just go that far. I really enjoyed it. So the more like, yeah.
Masterpiece in filmmaking.
Yeah.
Sure.
Masterpiece.
It was very good. Like, it's like
masterpiece.
As far as like movies I've seen recently, I would list it up there. For me personally, I was like blown away by the filmmaking in this. Like, I want to give like Denis Villeneuve, like, I don't know how to say his name. The director, he's one of my favorite directors.
Yeah.
He's,
you better learn how to say his name then.
Seriously, because he's just been blowing me away with everything he's done, like in recent history. And he hasn't like missed a beat at all, and the sound.
He was the new Blade Runner guy, right?
Yeah, yes. Blade Runner 2049, yeah. Which was my movie of the year that year, I think.
Yeah,
and this is like on the just ups the ante on what he's done in the past as far as spectacle goes. Like when you want to go see like a big blockbuster movie, this is a big blockbuster movie, and it delivers on all those things. Like what you want to go to a movie theater to see a movie for, he delivers that. But I want to also like shout out to like the cinematographer, the sound designer, like all those people that put this together, because they all the had theater. They had to put that effort in there to make this possible. But like,
it's 100% a theater movie. It's a theater movie.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah. So
I was blown away.
I concur with what Corey said. So I do wish that I had watched part one to refresh myself at the start of this film. I didn't do that, thinking like, oh, you know, I know what's going on with the story. And I do most of the point. Like, I know most of it. But like, obviously, some of the intricacies were a little bit vague from what happened that how many years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But like immediately just you're entrenched back into this world that is so impressive what they did. And I will say we saw it in Dolby Cinema. The sound is just so powerful that like, I know people want to get that IMAX experience, but I'm telling you guys, you got to check out that Dolby Cinema version. That sound is insane with the sandworms.
It in Dolby. I now want to see it IMAX because I want to see it in the format that it was filmed in IMAX. And they said the first one, they filmed the outside scenes in IMAX and the inside scenes they didn't, but this time they filmed it all because they didn't want to have that, you know, drastic, but not drastic, but that like
change.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I will usage of sound in this movie is just amazing. And there's a sequence at the end where like they just let the ambient sounds and the sound effects of the people, they just let that take center stage. Yes. And that was my favorite moment in this movie. It was amazing.
I mean, there was a lot of great moments. I don't want to give away too many things, so I'll just do locations, like a Coliseum kind of esque location. That sound in that place was amazing. Just like the sandworm part, like the sandworm, the impact of the arrival of the sandworms is just never misses. Like it just, the thunking and it's like the Godzilla scare, like over and over again. It's like the same impression. Like it is 100% that. So yeah, very good. Excellent movie. Had a lot of fun watching it. Didn't get a popcorn bucket. Corey didn't either.
It's like one of those things where you see a big budget film and how they use their budget and you're like, all right, like they were smart about it. And this was really well done. And then you look at like Godzilla Minus One, it's like they were really smart with their budget and what they did with the movie, and they made their movie as big as they possibly could on the budget, which is incredibly impressive what they did. Yeah. But then like you see a movie like Dune and you're like, oh wow, like this, when you have the money, this is what you can make. It's pretty impressive.
It's funny.
What's that?
Oh, just really quick, because the director for Godzilla recently gave an interview and he's like, I don't want to say what number the budget was, because everyone else is going to expect me to make a movie on
the budget. No, that's so smart. And it's like, there's no way you're going to be able to replicate that.
There's crafty guys, but like this is when you get like an untethered budget. It's not really untethered, but
no. And for what they said, I heard, like we talked about last week, like we were hearing, like Gladiator was like double this budget, which is almost just a crazy. But like, I don't think this movie is for everyone. Like to be fair, like the themes and because like, it is very much like a religious propaganda type of like story where it's a cautionary tale of what you know someone's influence, like one person's influence can have on a people in a way.
No, I mean, it's I think it tells a good story with that. I mean, I think it tells
That's what it is, right?
Well, it's about heretics, is that it?
Yeah. In a way, but it's like almost cautionary.
Yeah.
Because like you have those different viewpoints on the situation.
And... Yeah. Yep. So I got to say though, like it reminds me how much I do enjoy Josh Brolin as an actor. Like that guy so good in his roles. So
yeah, and I have to say, Timothy Chalamet, like I give him a lot of credit here. He did a fantastic job.
Yep,
the number one gamer.
Is this on Warner Brothers or Max?
Legendary. What
you can watch the first part on Hulu right now on Hulu.
Yeah. I think it was on Max initially. I remember it was like a big deal. It was like on Max.
It was on Netflix, and they're like leaving soon. And then I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And then I went to boot it up today. Actually, ironically, I wanted to talk about that, but it was gone. I was like, cool.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
I just saw it on Hulu. So, but yeah, cool. I enjoyed it. It is the number one movie in America right now and in the world. 82.5 million opening, destroyed movies, destroyed like box office worldwide. Actually, I think it's at 181. I think worldwide right now, on its way.
Crazy
to
think 81 is all it made. Like,
But that's. Like,
no, I know it's good for it, but like,
what's coming out?
Considering like what this movie should be doing,
what's coming out? What? But it's gonna have great legs. It's not gonna like. It's gonna have.
It's long though. It's really long.
Was it 3 hours?
It's over 2.5 hours.
It's over 2.5, and because I remember we got there at 5:30, and we left after 8:30. But there's trailers. Don't forget. So
yeah.
So there's no stinger at the end, so you're not sitting through.
Don't sit.
Anything,
it's good to know. Cool.
Yeah, all right, that's I mean, for me, I watched the first episode of Ninja Kamui. I watched the first episode of that, which is quite bloody, obviously. Same. Yeah, I know, we've heard it, but it kept getting recommended to me, so I'm like, I gotta check this out, and you've talked about it enough where I'm like, I gotta look at this. So yeah, it doesn't fail to it definitely doesn't fail to deliver on that first episode for action and blood. So I definitely enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, guys, I'm completely caught up with Shogun, even the latest episode. I'm very much enjoying that show.
Nice.
Like, very much. I don't want to overhype it for you guys, so that's where I'll leave it. But I think you should all watch it. Or not all. Maybe Mike not. But it's so good. I like it a lot. I would definitely strongly recommend you guys check it out. So...
Like watch it right now or watch it like 2 years when you mention it again?
I'm gonna finish this season, obviously. I just hope it gets renewed.
No, I'm saying, should I watch this now or should I wait 2 years after you tell me about it to watch it?
I got you. it's gonna be like that.
Well, we have to wait till the second season's announced.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's my rule. Yeah, but I touted this thing like early in the most anticipated. I believe I talked about this, and it has not disappointed. It's
no, I've heard really good things about it.
So that's it for me.
Is it just one a week, or is it all out?
There was two episodes the first week, and then this last episode. So there's three right now,
and they're like an hour.
The first one's over an hour, and then the second one's back underneath the hour, like 50 minutes. Is this other one.
How many episodes are supposed to be in the season?
I thought they're doing eight. I think they're doing eight.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's good content. It's like the acting is just so good. And if you watch it on Hulu, you get it's a Hulu original, so you get the swearing, you get the blood, or whatever they, you know, they're swearing and they're you get it from the Portuguese point of view, so you get the English dub in Portuguese. They're supposed to be speaking Portuguese to each other, but you're getting the English side, and then the Japanese side subtitled the entire show, which is really cool. So you apparently can watch it dubbed if you wanted to. I've heard my friend was watching it that way. I didn't know that was a thing. But you, if you watch it on Hulu instead of watching it on FX, you get the actual original content of the show. So there's obviously some cuts they made for TV that they didn't do on Hulu original. So
gotcha.
Yep. All right, that's it for me. Corey, finishing up for you?
Just the animes.
Yeah.
Nothing okay. else new other than Dune.
Tony?
I finished up Avatar on Netflix.
I didn't finish that yet. I'm on 4. I'm done with 4.
Oh, I did start watching that.
Yeah.
Well, overall, well, you know, I liked it. Not loved it, you know. I think they did a good enough job that I'm interested in season 2 and hoping that, you know, with the feedback and whatnot, they can make
some adjustments.
Budget, you know. Do an even better job the second time around. Because, like, you know, the thing is, like, I think I mentioned last week, but, like, child actors, like, actually performing, not just, like, people that can pass off as children via, like, a voice thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people are like, oh, the main characters, like, you know, they can't. I'm like, they're child actors. What?
Yeah.
It's only so much.
You got to lower your expectations a little bit, you know? Like, it's unfair to compare that to, you know, a professional voice actor that's just providing a, you know, higher pitch to come across as a child and stuff like that. There were some odd choices in differences between, obviously, the source material and the show. I'm hoping it comes around and, like, slots in. And my thought process is they want to, like, humanize some of the characters more because some of them were just, like, sort of like twirling a mustache in the show, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, this dude is clearly just evil. Like, he has no, you know, other thing. He's not three-dimensional or anything. It's just, he's evil. And, you know, he that's all he likes to do. It's like, okay, well, we'll see if it pans out and everything like that. But, you know, just in terms of a first-time experience, like, okay, well, you know, got to do something a little different from the source material because, again, even if they followed it to a T, people would still be upset about it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like, I always ask, what are you making it for? What's it doing that's new? You know, I said it last week. So,
well, like, look at the Lion King, right? The Lion King live action movie. It's like, why does that exist, right?
Exactly.
And so, like, it's here, it's like, what does this add to the Avatar fandom and stuff? And it's exciting to see them take their own or use their own take on things. But at the same time, it does lack a little bit of the charm, maybe, that I don't know. There's just something that's missing for me that I'm not binging this and like, oh, I can't wait for the next thing. But I'm not. But I'm also like, oh, I really want to see what they do with book 2 because that's when I think it gets really, really good. And, well, where are they taking these storylines that they're going with?
Yeah, and I think the biggest, you know, issue there is in the animation they had like 20-something episodes, right, to do the whole season. And a 20-minute episode could be dedicated to them being at this one location, doing this one thing, right? And with the show, you're only getting 8-hour-long-ish episodes, right? But that doesn't mean they could just be whisked away from location to location to location. It'd probably be, I'm not a director or anything like that, but I'm assuming that would be too hard to follow and really drive the storyline across and stuff like that. So you're missing a bit more of the, like, the camaraderie and the building the friendship, which is kind of the foundation of season 1, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is one thing I'll admit. Like, it doesn't feel like they're really that close of a friend group or anything like that. So I'm hoping they get that feedback and, you know, up that in season 2 and stuff like that. But by all means, like, I'm fine with it. I'd say it's like maybe like, you know, solid 7, 7.5. I mean, it's not anything to write home about, but I'm not offended by its existence. And if it brings new fans into the series and revitalizes the franchise and we're going to get more stuff out of it, I can't be mad at that.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say that, like, it feels like things are moving quick because it has to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And yet it also feels like Aang is taking forever to learn anything other than airbending. Like, like what do you want?
Yeah.
Isn't the whole point for you to start learning other things?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Agree.
Yep. All right. Mike.
Nope.
By the way, Mike, I do think just in terms of your love of visuals and talking about movies, I think you should check out Dune. I'm ready to write. I think one? You could. Yeah, I think you'd like. It's part one. You can watch that and see what you think.
There's a couple things. I mean, yeah, I have to watch part one, and I don't know. Timothée Chalamet makes me angry when I look at his face. So
just something about his face. No, I get it. Yeah. I get that part of it, but I think like just in terms of the way it does like cinema presentation, I think you'd appreciate that. Cause I think you did like film study, didn't you?
Yeah.
I remember it. See, I remember things about you. So, you know, I think you'd enjoy this film, actually. Both of them. It's something you should probably put on your horizon to check out.
Yeah, I'll probably watch the first one, and if I can catch a matinee by next week.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That's it for what we've been up to. We talked about a little bit about the box office. Like I said, there's not much else to talk about there. Madam Web, abysmal. You know, it's going to flop. And Sydney Sweeney was on SNL and said she didn't even... You wouldn't even know she was in that movie.
She's like, if you saw me, no, you didn't. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. Like,
in front of her own movie. Not doing good. But all right, let's talk about some news. Let's see what we've got here on the old news list. Okay, so Will Fort talks about his role. We talked about the Coyote versus Acme getting canceled
Will
by
Forte.
Warner Brothers.
Forte.
Will Forte? I thought it was Fort. Do the A-E at the end of his name? I'm sorry. I apologize.
You definitely do that.
I did not know that. Will Forte. Yep. So he was talking about it. I guess he went on the record about talking about it. He made a whole quote about the situation. I guess when he heard the news, it was getting deleted. He hadn't seen it, and he thought it was just, you know, that's because the film was crap. And then after he got to see it himself now finally, and he doesn't understand why the studio was shutting it down. After all the hard work that went into it, and the thing looks very visually beautiful, you know, it's funny, sweet, sincere, and he just doesn't understand the point of the tax write-off. He's not happy. Basically, I don't know who would be as an actor, but this just, like, would this prevent the studio, like, would this prevent actors from working for that studio? Would you be that selective?
I mean, the creative's already saying, if the rumor mill's to be believed, a lot of creatives, like, that's absolutely part of the process now, where they're like, why would I take this to Warner Brothers? Why would I make a deal with them when they've canceled so many projects over the past couple of years, right? Like,
yeah,
you're going to commit and spend years of your life making something, and then
they're like, thrown in the gutter. Yeah, thrown out, right in the trash. You know? And to, like, shop it for double the amount you're writing it off, more than double the amount you're writing the tax write off for.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, I mean, the U.S. government's even, or the FTC or something.
Yeah, you have
somebody's going after this. They're like, you can't make something and then not release it just for a tax write off, right? Because that's essentially you're kind of stealing from the government at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just being like,
it's got to be some sort of embezzlement kind of thing, right? It's got to be something like that, like just fraud. Absolutely. There's a fraud there. There's definitely fraud. But it's like, it's a tax, it's like a money laundering scheme, essentially. Yeah. Wouldn't it be? Kind of. But I don't know. We'll see. But it wasn't good. I mean, everybody had said that, like, that the only one that was silent so far, I think, about it has been James Gunn, who obviously has a role in DC.
Yeah, obviously he's not going to fucking say shit because he can't. You know. He can't bite the hand that feeds him. But,
no.
You know, it'd be cool if Zob just, you know, fucking woke up dead tomorrow or something. But
woke up dead.
Yeah. Wow.
Or we woke up to the news that he was dead. I mean, that'd be cool.
I was gonna say, you don't really wake up and
you don't wake up.
He's not the only leadership that has problems though for them.
No, but that's the first one. And then, you know,
yeah, some other guy said something we'll talk about in the game cast.
Yeah. That's
what I'm saying. Like, you just go down the line, you know?
That's what I'm saying before. But I will say that we had some news from James Gunn that was good from the DC world. I got a little symbol for Superman on Superman's birthday. He gave the suits symbol that he's using. And he changed the name of the movie from Superman Legacy to just simply Superman now.
And that's fine, but, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not a Superman fanboy or anything like that. Like, just showing the symbol means nothing to me. I don't know, personally. Like, show the suit, right? At least show the suit.
I got you. I thought he was going to reveal the suit. I was shocked to only get the little S symbol, which is a different S than we've gotten on the
screen. Well, we got a leak of a suit, right?
It's not real. It was not real. It was debunked. It was AI. So, yeah, I mean... The S looks cool. It's got the same grading as the Man of Steel suit, I would say, right? Same grading material.
It's got the texture to it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a line inside of a shield shape. So it just makes the S, but there's just like a line, a slash, and that's all it looks like.
Yeah, something about it. That, yeah, I just...
Looks like half an S.
Yeah, I got you on that. But I'm excited for it still. I hope it's good. They cast, actually, Perry White which was cool. Let me bring up who that. My mouse is terrible on this computer. Mm-hmm. It really is. Forget the actor that they cast for him. It is
Harry White being the
Wendell Pierce.
Wendell Pierce, yeah. That is
Wendell Pierce from. Let me give you something he was in, so you guys have it. But he's going to play Perry White. The last one to play, I think, Perry White was Lawrence Fishburne, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Wendell Pierce was. He's in the Jack Ryan series, The Wire. So he's on TV shows.
Oh, thanks. You know. No, I was going to say like Perry White. Who's Perry White? To people don't know, he's the.
Go on. Yeah.
No, the editor in chief, I suppose, of Daily Planet.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool.
Superman's boss. Clark Kent's boss, I should say.
Yep. That's right, Clark Kent. But, let's see what else we have here. We've got, we're talking about movies and getting made and not getting made. Just to continue back into that, was the news from Disney's live action, the new Disney live action boss, David Greenbaum, pitched his approach to Greenlight projects basically as, does this film need to exist? That's his philosophy that he's proceeding with. Again,
it's a bold strategy, Con.
It's a bold strategy here. Again, in theory, sounds fantastic, but I think, Tony, you seconded my thought of, like, does he actually follow through with that? Right?
The thing is...
To exist, though? Like, that's always...
Well, I mean, if it's going to do something new. We just talked about with Avatar. Is it doing something new? Is it bringing us something new? Right? That's what you're looking for. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I would like that because, I mean, for me personally, the live-action versions of the movies I've seen of theirs haven't really done anything much for me. Like, Beauty and the Beast was all right, you know?
Yeah, it was okay.
And Aladdin, I thought, was shit. Didn't even see Lion King.
I didn't see Dumbo, Lion King either.
I thought we talked about a long time ago.
I didn't see Dumbo either. Yeah.
No one saw Dumbo.
Whatever. But, like, it just... I don't think any of these... I mean, Beauty and the Beast did fine, but I think Aladdin did okay. Or Lion King did okay.
I think okay. Lion King did okay. Aladdin did pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
Most of them did okay, except for Dumbo.
Pinocchio was out too, don't forget, wasn't it?
Oh, Pinocchio, I forgot about that too.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Oh, Little Mermaid. That just came out. So that did pretty well.
Did it?
It came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought it was like around COVID times. No.
Yeah. No, it was just recently as in 2 years, yeah. But
I was like, are you... You gaslighting me? Do I have to look up 2023? Because, like, I was like, I don't remember that being in theaters.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's 2022, that one. Oh, it was 2023. Boom! It was 2023.
What?
It was? Yeah! August 25th, 2023.
August, even, like, is not even that...
That was Little Mermaid.
Far back. What?
Was that far back? Oh, sorry, May 26th. May 26th.
Okay, I was going to say, like, August.
May 26th. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It's whatever. Like, I think this is just mainly going to be an excuse for them to be more selective about
movies. That's what they're doing anyways. Budgets.
Like, you know, they got high on, you know, the pre-COVID, you know, we can release anything and be rewarded with it, right? And again, now it's a retraction. They're like, we can't just put something out and have it be instantly profitable anymore. They have to actually, you know, make a good movie. So, bold words. I don't really think it has anything to do with
See. And we're getting live action Moana, live action Frozen, right?
Mm-hmm. Those are the next ones, yeah.
I think the Moana's shelved for now, right? Because they're doing Moana 2 this year. They haven't actually said that they're doing continuing.
They're doing live action Moana.
I know that The Rock is reprising his role.
Yeah. So, all right. Lastly, in the news,
are we surprised by that?
No, not at all. We got the Fallout TV series creator. Talking about the show coming out. Obviously, they're hyping it up. Comes out in April, for those wondering. They had some teaser posters released for it. It does visually look like pretty good.
Very impressive.
Yeah. I like his approach to it, by the way. They're talking about this as being like it's like a Fallout 5 because with the gaming universe the way it is, you know, the games are created based, you know, completely separated essentially from each other with new antagonists, new cities, or protagonists. New cities and
antagonists too, sure.
And antagonists, yes, but protagonists. But you know, so their take on this is a new story in a new city, and it's their own version. So you're getting a Fallout 5 essentially with the story. That's what he's comparing it to.
And that's kind of the opposite of what we talk about, right? Like it's an adaptation, sort of, but not really. It's more of just like, hey, it's set in the Fallout universe, and you know, it's not gonna be a game that you've played before, right? Yeah,
absolutely. It gives them freedom. Yeah.
That's fine, yeah. Right? Because we're gonna get stories that we've never seen before and stuff like that. And I really hope it's good. It looks good. So I but I'm, you know, trying to remain cautiously out.
Yes, here. That's same mm-hmm. same idea. It's a series Mike should watch, right? You'll be on that one, right?
I'll give it a look. I did predict it will be disappointing, but I'll check it out, I guess.
At least you know that Amazon's going to throw a lot of money at it.
I guess.
So there's that.
It's the only
big budgets.
The only Fallout 5 we'll see for the next 15 years anyway, so.
Probably.
Might as well look at it.
Yeah,
but I mean, as far as what the hopes for it, what it's going to be, is it's there with like the look of it, the trailers and everything. I'm excited. Because, like,
yeah.
The thing is, though, trailers, like, it can sucker punch you.
You're seeing, oh my God, don't remind me. Please don't remind me that one. But you're seeing the best version of it. That's what you're getting. Mm-hmm. You're getting the cut. Usually, you're getting a good cut. Now, sometimes they don't cut them well, but you're getting the best cut.
What's some of the best trailers and some of the worst trailers that have been, like, for the best movies and the worst movies, you know? That
would be an interesting conversation for us to have one night.
And like, the first trailer that comes to mind is best trailer I've seen in a long time is Wakanda Forever. That trailer just hit like really hard.
Yeah, it was a good trailer.
Yeah, that was a very
good the music trailer. And everything. That was really great. But as far as like bad trailers for good movies or good trailers for bad movies, that'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting to go back and look at that and the history of it. So we'll do that sometime.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I think
I didn't put it on the news, but
looking.
House of Dragons season 2 confirmed for June.
It was, yeah. The window, right? They gave a window. They gave a date.
And then also Rings of Power season 2 apparently is.
Yeah, it's coming.
Ooh, that's cool.
Which was a surprise because I wasn't sure if they committed to a second season.
Yeah,
but you know, I like that good enough. You know.
Yeah, and they haven't officially greenlit the Dune the Messiah, but their producer was talking about how they're coming up with a script. Like, it basically said this confirmed. So if you're wondering mm-hmm. if there's going to be a third film, yeah, there's going to be a third film. So
also, Liam Neeson is cast in the Naked Gun.
Oh, remake. I did see that. I'm excited for that. I'm sorry, but that
the remaking works. Naked Gun?
Yes, but with Liam Neeson.
Oh,
yeah.
All he's got to do is play that straight edge with the comedy around him. That's perfect. That is perfect.
No, I thought it was actually pretty good casting for it. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of movie they make because they don't really make movies like Naked Gun anymore. So
it's badly
for theaters. This isn't like a direct to streaming kind of thing.
No, I think it'll be theaters. I think it's
it's going to be July 15th, 2025, Paramount.
That,
so I don't know.
It's quite.
It's going to be interesting because like now today's like. PC, sensitive you have to be. It's going to be because, you know, there's a lot of jokes in there that will not fly today.
Not anymore, but it'd be interesting to see how they adapt it.
You know what they should do? They should bring back OJ. Just cast him.
That's not.
Bring him back.
No.
OJ.
Not a chance. No, so
what's wrong?
No.
Oh, but, getting rid of Leslie Nielsen.
Is he in jail still?
Yeah, unfortunately, Leslie Nielsen's not with us anymore. Yeah. But, you know, I'm excited for that, though. When I saw that news, it's like, that works for some reason. So we'll see. Hope it works. But, all right. That's going to wrap up the movie cast. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Stay tuned. Gamecast is coming up next. We're going to see you guys on Twitch again, live Tuesday nights, YouTube, all the content over there. So subscribe. And we'll see you on the Gamecast. We are out.